when I was a kid, I used to listen to
radio
interviews, and I would
read. Darling, we're recording. Darling,
oh.
We're recording.
Oh, well, hello. Should I just...
And I want to welcome you to Women Are Not Funny Radio, where we try to disprove the premise that is built into the title of our show. Now, you may have heard our guest already. What a loser. You know, she talked after I started the recording. What am I going to do with her? I suppose I'll let her be on the show anyway, but it's kind of tough. What are my options? I'll be thinking about it. First, some things to get to. Item one, you notice there's still no voiceover intro, but for variety's sake, I played a little different arrangement of William Tell Tricycle, one that's totally piano and glockenspiel, and I think it was just very inspiring, and I hope you found it so too. I now have six different voiceover artists who are vying for the job of doing our intro. And the reason I say that is because I love to exaggerate. Now, I'm not exaggerating the number. In fact, there are actually more like seven who are vying for the opportunity to do the voiceover. What I'm exaggerating on is the idea that they are vying for it. Okay. I mean, some of them are interested, some of them are indifferent. It's kind of funny, but I like to picture a contest where they are all hoping to be selected. It's not exactly that way. We'll see what happens. Item two, and you know what it's going to be because every week in the show opening I talk about Ann Curry and her annoying method of interviewing where she does all the talking, she knows everything, and we've already established that I follow the same method. But what I'd like to do today is kind of organize the information around this topic that I've already laid out. I think it will be helpful to you to, you know, really understand where I'm going with this. Okay. Number one, I am annoying. We would all agree. Number two, my interview style is exactly like that of Ann Curry. Annoying. Number three, I know this because I actually have the guts to listen to the replays of Women Are Not Funny Radio. And that expression, having the guts, is sometimes referred to as intestinal fortitude. That's what I have. And I listen to the replays. I'm as annoying as Ann Curry would be in her dreams. Okay, number four. When I say I follow the annoying Ann Curry style, I am accomplishing four things by doing this. A, I'm being charmingly self-deprecating. B, I'm using a rhetorical strategy to imply that I'm in the same league as Ann Curry. C, I'm driving up her ratings. I'm bound to be. There's got to be a lot of prestige involved in being talked about in the opening each week of Women Are Not Funny Radio. And four, actually, that would be D. It adds to my notoriety, and, of course, I like that. Item number four, item three. It's last week's show. If you were here, and even if you weren't, our guest last week was Michelle Woodward, who is a very good friend of mine and also a regular featured guest own Women Are Not Funny. And for me, it was a particularly satisfying conversation because I had the opportunity to demonstrate and prove that, yes, indeed, I'm actually the accidental host of Women Are Not Funny Radio. Now, don't get me wrong. I like it. I like being the host. I want to be the host. I want to stay the host. But that was never my intention. It wasn't when we began, and it wasn't when we started season two. Kamal and I wanted Michelle Woodward to be the host of Women Are Not Funny. And so in last week's show, she and I had a nice conversation about our difficult conversation surrounding that, because I tried to persuade her even after she had told me no and told me no with great certainty. At any rate, I'm glad she told me no, not that she wouldn't do a better job. I mean, clearly she would. But I love being here, so that was fun for me. And I loved having her here last week because not only was the conversation fun, but we accomplished so much, including because of Michelle's inventiveness. She came up with some new words, new terms that I think are very interesting. She's kind of whimsical and creative. She is a best-selling author in addition to being a master coach and a former Washington lobbyist. She's an amazing woman. She came up with a word to describe herself and her children, nerdalicious. She said she was teaching her children to be nerdalicious like she is. And then she came up with one for me, fabulosity, which, you know, I loved because it sounded somewhat flattering. And since I didn't, you know, given that, I just kind of accepted it. I didn't take it any further because I wanted to just assume it was flattering. And then she also invented something wonderful. I mean, I'll pull this out on many an occasion. The Baked Alaska of Failure. That's what she called my triumvirate of failure that is, in fact, KK's divorce. The Baked Alaska of Failure, where it's just failure on top of failure on top of failure, and then you dress it up. So I love the concept. I love that idea. And so it was really great. The other thing that came from Michelle's appearance last week, and this is so cool. You are going to be very excited about this. I know. She came up with a contest, even those of you who maybe won't care to enter. You're just going to be excited vicariously. Michelle came up with the idea that Women Are Not Funny Radio should have a win a date with Hugh Jackman contest. And I just thought that was a great idea. Now, we haven't taken it too far. You know, we don't yet have the rules, and we certainly don't have Hugh Jackman. But nonetheless, we do have a win a date with Hugh Jackman contest. It's a contest just waiting to happen. So get excited about that. Now, I don't know what the rules are. Don't know. I mean, literally, I'm the host of the show, and I know so little about this contest. But that will change. That will change because, you know, I'll probably make something up. And I do know this, though. In order to win a date with Hugh Jackman, you are going to have to become a member of the Awesome Pretties. Now, I've been meaning to talk with you about this for some time. You see, Women Are Not Funny Radio has a list of people. You don't have to be female to be on this list. You just have to be awesome, and you have to be pretty. It's all by the honor system, you know. I mean, if you're awesome and you're pretty, you know it. So you just fill in your name and your email address. It's there on the homepage, and I think every page of the Women Are Not Funny Radio website. And you fill in your name, and you fill in your email address, and then you essentially are representing to the people in charge of these things. And actually, our chief pretty officer, we do have a CPO, a chief pretty officer, that would be Paula Kelly. You are representing to our chief pretty officer that you are, in fact, awesome and you are, in fact, pretty. And then you hit submit, and it's all done. You're on the list. So that is going to be a requirement to enter the Win a Day with Hugh Jackman contest. And I would encourage you to become a member of the Awesome Pretties, even if you don't. If you're not interested in going out with Hugh. The other thing is so you must be awesome and you must be pretty. You know, that is a requirement. So today we have as our guest someone who, she's an interesting sort. And you've already heard her, right? Because I didn't really, you know, I blamed her. I started out, I blamed her. That was very ungracious of me. Really, what I ought to do is find some way to mute my guest, because she is someone who has, like many of my guests, she's someone who has a lot to say, and that's why she's here. And I'm very excited about it, but I'm also a little nervous, and with good reason, no doubt. Because as I've found over the last couple of weeks, actually starting with Martha Giffen, I had no thought that this would be an issue, but it is, apparently. There are people who would come on Women Are Not Funny and use the show, use the opportunity, use me as their stepping stone for whatever they're trying to achieve. Now, I've long known that it was very prestigious to be a guest on the show, and I've long known that, you know, women would want to be a guest on the show. I just never thought about it in these terms, this kind of bold, bald power grab. Now, last week it was a little different, because Michelle Woodward is already a regular featured guest. Not only that, I have proof positive that she does not want to take over the show. I tried to drag her, screaming and wailing, to the microphone to be the host of the show. No luck. So clearly, she would not be trying to take over the show. But I don't know that I have any safety today. And I'll tell you why I feel this way. Yesterday, I get an email from today's guest about today's show. And she says, "Kay, I'm beyond excited. No kidding. I have wanted to be the guest on a radio show since I was a child." Now, when I read this, I just got shivers. You know, two reasons. One, it seemed like to me that there was a clear bit of ambition expressed in that email. It some people just look like a simple sentence, but to me, it looked like what it was, a power grab. The other thing that concerned me is I have so many responsibilities. I have so many duties. And I am, you know, I'm a very capable woman. I accomplish so much every single day of my life. But can I really be held to this? Can I really be put in the position of responsibility for fulfilling someone's childhood dream? Does that seem right? I mean, isn't that just too much? Isn't it enough to just be the best radio host this side of Ann Curry? I don't know. Those are questions I have, and there's only one person I can turn to for answers at this time, and that is today's guest, Emma Alvarez Gibson.
Hello, Kay.
Hello, Emma. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm. You know, I told you just now. Perhaps you weren't listening.
I was talking to myself, actually.
Well, that disappoints me because I kind of laid it out. I laid it out, you know, and told everyone, including you, how I feel. I feel intimidated. I feel burdened. I feel burdened, Emma.
Yes. I understand. It is a big task to be in charge of fulfilling someone's childhood dream. It is. But I, you know, one of the things that I like most about you, Kay, is, as you said earlier, you are very capable, and I have no doubts that you're capable of carrying this task to its fruition as well.
Yes, but Emma, here's the question.
Mm.
Was your childhood dream to just to be on radio, or was it to have fun on radio, or was it to, you know, how build this out a little bit, because maybe you've already achieved it. Maybe we're done. You've achieved it. You're on radio.
Maybe just that bit where I was talking over the intro music. Maybe that did it.
Maybe now let me ask you this: was your childhood dream to be on a radio show where things are so professional that you would be muted or better prepped? Maybe that was your childhood dream, or was your childhood dream to be on this kind of, you know, six gun, bareback riding radio show? What kind? Which one?
Well. Two things. One, I don't ever want to be anywhere where I'm muted, because that just sounds like a nightmare. And two, I am a huge fan of Clint Eastwood. So anything involving six guns and, you know, horseback riding, I'm all for that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that you would call Women Are Not Funny Radio the Wild West, but if you get off on it, we will.
You know what? It works for me.
Well, good.
It's a written suit and radio show.
But here, Emma, I have no choice but to do this. Now, don't feel bad about it. I'm asking everyone, are you using this appearance as a stepping stone to something grander? Are you using me for that?
I don't know that I'm using you and this appearance as a stepping stone per se, but as the fulfillment of a childhood dream, oh, you bet. Absolutely. I've always wanted to be interviewed on the radio.
Mm-hmm. By me?
Yes.
Oh.
I will bring you my third grade diary next time I'm on the other side of the country.
Well, you know what? You were probably you were precious and you were prescient. And you somehow knew that this day would come.
Yeah, absolutely. I had no doubt. At the time, I thought it would be that I would be a famous Hollywood actress and then I'd be interviewed. But I'm actually really happy it didn't turn out that way.
Well, the thing is, what you're talking about here is sequencing.
Mm.
And sometimes things happen out of sequence. So you are on the radio today. You are not a famous Hollywood actress as far as I know, but you are a woman who is full of surprises. So possibly I'm wrong about that, but I think you're probably not a famous Hollywood actress.
No, not at present time. Yeah.
At the present time? See, you get it. That's exactly right. It's it's an issue of sequencing. And but one thing, you may not be a famous Hollywood actress at this time, but one thing you are, you're widely known as this. I didn't make this up. You're known as the whip smart Emma Alvarez Gibson.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
That is true. You are known as that.
Oh,
you made it up.
Uh-huh.
Well, that is the best way. That is the best way to ensure that you are known as a certain thing. But, you know, the thing about it is, I have noticed, and I've just been playing with it for a little while. You've been playing with it for a long time. So you know that what I'm saying is true. People respond in a very happy, cheerful way to that expression, don't they?
They really do. I actually chose it because I liked the alliteration and because I responded to it that way. But I wasn't expecting that in general it would sort of cheer people up. It like makes people smile, which is
exactly.
Really just a nice bonus.
When people hear it, they like you immediately and they don't even know you. That's probably the best time to like you, don't you think?
I agree, yeah, before you've really gotten to uncover any of the truth, yeah.
Exactly. So it is a very strong expression, and you know, I think even though there are people who would say Emma Alvarez Gibson, that's plenty. That's plenty of name.
That's
enough
a lot.
Name. That's a
yeah.
lot of name.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, despite those people and what they might say, that the whip smart Emma Alvarez Gibson might be a better name.
I agree. It does make for a lengthier tattoo for the people who are getting that across their backs. But I say just choose a smaller font.
Well,
problem solution.
See, you are a woman with solutions, and that is, you know, that is the thing. I don't think, though, the whip smart Emma Alvarez Gibson, that if you're going to go with a rather lengthy name like the whip smart Emma Alvarez Gibson, and by, you know, I think the Z is important. Would you agree?
I'm sorry, the what, the Z?
The whip smart, you know.
Oh,
I'm
yes, absolutely, yeah.
I'm picturing the kind of like, you know, I went to law school at the Ohio State University,
yes,
where the Z is capitalized in part of the name. So I'm thinking the whip smart Emma Alvarez Gibson.
It makes a proper title, yeah.
Well, with a name that long, I don't think you should have a tagline or a sobriquet. I think it should be standalone.
And I should just, for instance, just ask my mother to call me that, my friends?
Oh, no, I think you should demand that everyone call you that at all times.
I'm curiously, you know, taking notes. Yes.
Oh,
please,
yeah. Well,
go on.
This will be available on replay. Well, one good thing about it, and when we were talking about the fact that you were going to be the guest on Women Are Not Funny Radio today, and that you were, in fact, going to be in a position to have your childhood dream fulfilled, we decided that what we wanted to talk about today was names and naming and naming convention. And I think one very exciting thing about you, as you are anticipating going into the future with a changed name, is you know how to do it.
Yes and no.
Oh, really?
I did it in a quasi-legal sort of way. And I'm not sure if I can continue the story, given that you're an accidental lawyer. But you know what? It's too good of a story.
I have
not
good
to tell.
News for you, darling. No, I have
What's
good
that?
News for you. Tell your no, just tell your story, and then I'll tell you my good news. I mean,
okay.
What kind of a person are you? You want the good news now? That is ridiculous.
Wait.
No.
And
good
dessert.
News comes when it does.
All right.
So what is your story?
Well, when I decided to change my name, it was right around, it was about a year or so before I got married. And I started going by Emma around that time, had my checks printed up. I mean, I don't even use checks anymore, but back then I still used checks. So I had checks printed up that said Emma Alvarez on them. Then when I got married and took on my husband's last name, Gibson, I went to the DMV to get my new driver's license, and I took my checkbook with me, and I filled all the appropriate paperwork out with my new name, Emma Gibson, and then handed it over to the woman and behind the counter, and she took it and said, "But your old license has a completely different name on it." And I said, "You know, that's not a name I go by." And I held out my checkbook, and I said, "Even my checks say Emma." And I could see that she was sort of thinking, "I don't think I'm allowed to do this." And then she finally just shrugged and said, "Okay," and handed me over a new driver's license with my new name on it. From there, I got my new Social Security card, and there you are. It's a story that would not have happened post 9/11, I think.
Well, we shall never know, right? But
right.
Because, well, I mean, we may know because, after all, we are here discussing changing your name once again.
Yes.
To the whip smart Emma Alvarez Gibson.
That's true.
But I am going to give you some information about the law.
Okay.
But you do understand that I am not your lawyer.
Yes, correct.
I am not even close to being your lawyer.
So there's no, like, lawyer, like, snitch line where you call up and say, "Hey, this Gibson chick totally changed her name, and it wasn't really legal, and I think you guys should get after her." There's nothing like that?
Oh, that's a good business idea.
Right?
But you know what? I'm unaware of that. And,
okay, good.
And besides, here's my thing. I just want you to understand that what I'm about to tell you is not legal advice, and
okay,
that I am not your lawyer.
Okay.
And I would, and I just want there to be no confusion about that whatsoever.
Yeah,
I'm going to talk about legal things, but I'm not giving legal advice to you or to anyone listening. I'm
okay.
Just kind of mouthing off. That's all it is. That's all it amounts to. This is what you're about to hear is a lawyer mouthing off.
Excellent.
Right? And actually, the way you went about changing your name is perfectly legal because it does not require, typically, there might be some things where it would, occasions where it would be required, but typically it doesn't require any sort of formal legal action as long as you are doing it. The rules change if you're doing it to commit fraud. But if you are changing your name because you, for example, love the name Emma,
mm-hmm.
I don't see any fraud about that. Do you? I mean, it's really not fraudulent at all. It's very straightforward. There's a woman. Her name isn't Emma. She wants her name to be Emma. She's not trying to commit fraud. She changes her name to Emma. She does it. She follows the checkbook method of changing her name. Changing her name to Emma, because really, let's face it, if the name on the check, that counts.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Although
checks are, very quickly kind of going out of fashion.
Yes.
So I don't know how much longer the checkbook method of changing your name will work. But I think what you did was, just fascinating. And it's how we got started talking about names and naming in the first place, because I commented to you about how I love your name because I love the juxtaposition of the cultures that your name represents.
Yeah.
And that's when you told me, though, that your name is something that you yourself invented, which, and now I totally approve of that. Totally approve of that.
I feel like it really reflects who I am because it's sort of bookended by these very, British sort of sounding names. And sort of in the middle, in the heart of it, if you will, is one of the most common names from Mexico and Spain. And that's kind of, I feel like that's a pretty accurate reflection of who I am.
I do, too, because it, it really kind of demonstrates a person who's totally confused about about who she is. But now here's something interesting. You do understand, I think, that we have approximately, this is just an estimate, we have approximately 2 million plus listeners. Not live. We don't have 2 million live, but this is available in replay. So,
yes.
Anyone can be listening, and they probably will, and, we're talking millions of people. Are you willing to give up your old name for these millions of people or not?
Oh, sure. I mean, in theory, many of these millions, or at least two of these 2 million, may even be people who knew me with my old name.
Is that possible? What if they've forgotten you? What if they just completely forgot that other woman with the other name?
That's pretty hard to imagine. I'm pretty unforgettable, Kay.
Mm-hmm. Are with these, now ostensibly your parents might remember the name they gave you.
Yes. One of my parents may actually choose to never acknowledge the name Emma at all. I'm not going to say which one, but it's the male parent.
Mm-hmm. Please don't reveal which parent it is.
No, I won't. It's a secret. I'll let
all
you
right.
figure it out.
So, what is the name?
It is the name I was born with. Do you have a drum roll there on your sound effects switchboard that I know you're operating
right now?
All right,
just a minute. Okay. Probably. Let's see. I actually do have sound effects. Drum
That's
roll.
Fabulous.
But what if, I know, it is fabulous, but what if I, because I'm looking here and I'm just feeling kind of bratty, and I'm thinking... why I could do, does it have to be a drum roll? What
no,
is
but
glass
it's something that might indicate anticipation would be helpful.
All right, but I'm really not very good at this.
Oh, that's all right.
I don't know. I mean, what about glass breaking?
Okay, let's do that.
All right. Okay.
Juana Josefina Alvarez.
Oh, well, say that again, but first let's try another sound effect.
Okay.
Okay. Here's one. How about harp? Okay.
Okay. Juana Josefina Alvarez. That was much nicer with the harp. I like that.
I think it worked really well with the harp. Let's do that one more time. And plus, your pronunciation is just... It's just fetching. There's no other word for it. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, here we go.
Juana Josefina Alvarez.
See, when you say it like that, I just think, why in the hell did you change?
Well, now you say it. Say the first name in just your regular voice.
Hmm. See, you are putting the host on the spot. Emma, do you know, to me, that's not whip smart, for someone who wants a future in radio. I think what you're supposed to do is just kind of flatter me, praise me, make me look good. Okay, fine. Juana.
Yeah, and there you
Josefina,
have it.
Josefina. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say. Josefina Alvarez. That's what I'd say.
And I refuse to be, I just got really tired of being known as Juana. That's hideous. It's hideous. And the nonstop jokes about what do you want to do? Want to talk to me? Hey, where do you want to go? Are you kidding me? It's my name. And to be honest, I never actually was all that crazy about it in Spanish either.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Could you spell it? Were you able to spell it? You are whip smart after all.
Yes. But that was always after the jokes. And I'm kind of a cranky person. And so cranky in general, and then people making fun of my name to my face, I was spending a lot of time just being really irritated. And I thought, here's one really easy way to just nip this particular irritation in the bud and come out with a cool name.
Yeah, well, I would like to say that that's really smart. I would like to say that it is whip smart. But you notice I have this little qualifier there. I'm telling you, I would like to say that.
I think you should go with what you like.
Yeah, but this is what I'm getting at. The whip smart Emma Alvarez Gibson. How old were you when you did this checkbook name change sort of thing? What age were you?
I was 22.
Mm-hmm. I just put this out there.
Mm-hmm.
It took you way too long. And the reason I say that is you're not the only one whose parents caused her the world of hurt in their name by the name they chose for her. You're not the
Kate.
I know some.
Do you share my pain, Kay?
Emma, there is no pain as great as the pain of getting a hideous name. I mean, you really can't do anything about it. Have you noticed that? You can do very little about it. And in my case, my parents, I'm all for being inventive. I really am. I think that is a wonderful thing for people to do, is be inventive, but not with your child's name.
No, never.
Never. And so my parents made something up, gave it to me, feigned surprise when I didn't like it, and to this day, still think it's a form of youthful rebellion that I hate that name. Which, I'm for having anything about me characterized as youthful rebellion, but it still seems like it's pushing it a little bit, because the fact is there is no one in my experience who has ever heard the first name that they gave me who has said, oh, that's a lovely name, or why would you not use that name, or why did you change your name, or anything like that. They immediately know why I hate the name. They immediately agree with me. And if they say the name, their nose actually crinkles when they say it. It is
Will
a nose
you share
crinkling.
It with us?
Oh, goodness, no. Goodness, no. Absolutely not. Never.
Can I guess?
I do not want. Can you guess? Of course you can guess. Guess all you like. You'll never come up with it. I mean, my parents, Emma, my parents were so, so creative. They invented a name. I do not share the name with anyone else. In fact, I don't even share it with me because I have abandoned the name.
I don't know what happens to people. It's like they decide, well, look, I'm now in charge of the future of a human being, so I'm just going to fuck with their heads. Can I say the F word on your show?
Too late now. You did. We tried to keep this show mother-friendly.
Sorry.
And you have just violated one of the aspects of a mother-friendly radio show.
Whose mother listens to this?
All right, but just let me say this. Just let me say this to my mother. She will probably be more offended by what I just said about the name she gave me. Then your four-letter word. But just let me say this to my mother.
Yes.
Mother, I don't know Emma. I don't like her. I do not approve of her. The fact that she was profane on the radio show is a humiliation to me and to our family. And I apologize.
Probably to my mother, who's a minister.
Yeah, okay. Let me say to Emma's mother, how on earth did you raise a daughter so profane? Okay, I think we've taken care of that.
Yeah.
Now,
okay, good.
The other thing is, I think you make an excellent point about parents and the responsibility they bear for coming up with some really kind of decent names. Because, Emma, don't you think it would make a huge difference in a person's life if they had just the swellest name ever? Wouldn't that be great?
Or even just a name that they didn't have to explain or spell. I mean, even that.
Well, what about one that just sounds... See, I think you're setting the bar too low, really. Because I think parents, if they really, really, really care, there is a lot that they can do with names to help their child out. To give their child a little head start, don't you think? I mean, I think a cool name is a great head start to a life as a cool person.
I think, in theory, I like what you're saying. However, I think that because cool can be so subjective, it's kind of dangerous territory to tread because, you know, it's like how in the 70s, every girl baby was Jennifer and every boy baby was Scott. And in all my elementary school classes, everybody was Jennifer and Scott and Scott and Jennifer. And now, of course, it's all the boys are Dayton, Caden, Jaden, and Brayden. I wish I were making that up. And all the girls are Dakota.
And you know, 40 years from now, everyone named Dakota is going to be a certain age.
Correct. Right? Yeah. Sort of like how right now I'm the oldest Emma I know. All the other Emmas are 5 and under.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you can brag about your name on all sorts of grounds, and that's one of them, you know. But trust me, darling, you are not 5 years old. You are older than that. You can lie about your age, and I would recommend it, but do not. That would be a little bit much, you know. Just going
trying
forward.
Trying to pass for 5.
I would say when you lie about your age, subtract no more than anywhere from 4 to 7 years would do it, depending on how good you look. I'm just giving you advice going forward. Now, you don't have to worry about that now, but, you know, since you are claiming to have something in common with 5-year-olds, I thought I might just go ahead and, you know, help you out a little bit.
I appreciate that, Kay.
No, of course. Of course you do. And you should. So what do you think about, so you don't buy the whole idea of cool names because you are, I think what you just said is it's too difficult to predict that a name is going to be cool. whether it will be considered cool 30 years hence.
Yes, and I think also it's the fact that I don't think that most people see, now I've talked myself into a corner, and you're all going to see what a jerk I really am. I don't think that it, by and large, the great unwashed masses have the sort of taste required in deciding what's cool. So stick with something traditional, stick with something simple, and the name will just simply not be obtrusive. The name will be the name of a person who turns out to be cool. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, and I have a great example of it.
Pray tell.
Well, it's just coincidental. But someone who is listening to the show right now, who is mm-hmm. listening live for the first time, his name happens to be Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that is an example of just a great name.
Yeah.
You know, because it is a traditional name, and then it has a lot of ways you could go in terms of a nickname or a shortened name. You know, you
mm-hmm.
could be Matt, or you could even be Maddie, if you...
Mm-hmm.
or so inclined. And then Matthew, that sounds substantial. It sounds like an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. That's one of the reasons that I named my son what I named him, which is Luke, because it's simple, it's strong. There's not a whole lot of spelling variation. There's not a whole lot of nickname. And it's just very traditional. And it'll be more about the person instead of like, oh, God, here I am with this name that I don't know what to do with, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, something, and I really would like to, for a moment, just to get, you know, very deep and intellectual in our discussion.
As we do.
Well, I mean, some people will be shocked. Some people will be less shocked. Some people will point out that we're really not being intellectual, and I'm misrepresenting
what?
It even. Well, I mean, listen to what I'm about to say. I just want to make a point that I think parents in this world, the world we live in, the world that we will call now, the now world, should maybe also put another element in it. I still go for the cool. I think there's some names that are just inherently more cool. I think Luke would fall into that category. I think Luke would also fall into the category that I'm about to bring up, and it's a kind of a new concept that I've been playing with for 6 months or so. But the idea that children born today are going to live in a world that's truly international. So a word that sounds good in a lot of different languages, or rather a name that sounds good in a lot of different languages, if you could accomplish that,
yes,
that would be a great thing as well.
Yes, I could not agree more. I am the poster child for your movement, I think.
Well, maybe so. Maybe so. I don't know that I would call it a movement, but if you care to, we will.
I enjoy it, yeah.
What about this? What about, though, this other element that I would introduce, in addition to having a great sound in a lot of different languages and a lot of different cultures? What about the whole idea of a name that is somewhat mysterious?
In what way mysterious?
I mean, just completely mysterious. Totally mysterious.
Can you provide an example?
Well, I think I can. Because just earlier this morning, I was reading a blog post, and it was a little love story. And it was a little love story about another blogger whose name, it was a blogging name now, but her name was Can't Say. Well, wouldn't
that
you
is,
agree?
It's
That's
very
mysterious.
It's the epitome of mysteriosity.
Well, it's funny that you say that because... That's what I was thinking. I was going, could you get more mysterious than that? I was trying to think of other similar names, you know, for someone who might want to name their child something mysterious. But
can't
say. What about won't tell you?
That sounds sort of petulant, though, doesn't it? Like that won't go over very well at school.
It sounds kind of a little stubborn, but you know,
yeah.
Some people are. What about this? This is maybe a little more smart alecky. You'll never know.
Oh. Well, if you're going to go with that, you might as well go with none, yes.
Well, you know, I suppose. But I just think that's kind of an interesting idea, the whole idea that you could come up with a name for your child that would be very mysterious. And so I think can't say is a good one. Another thing that is, you know, interesting to me and someone who's listening today who's a very good friend of mine is named Renee.
Mm-hmm.
But she is not just Renee. She is Renee with an accent over the first E.
Oh, see, that's good. It's proper. It's spelled properly. I like that.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's there are problems with it because what does it mean? It means her name is misspelled constantly,
everywhere.
Right?
Everywhere, sure, yeah.
Everywhere. But what I call it is a blinged out name.
It's fancy.
It's very fancy. So just think about it. We're coming up with some good concepts. Choose a name for a child that is cool,
mm-hmm.
mysterious, blinged out. Right?
My fear, if we continue on this same path, is that we're going to end up right back at, like, Dakota and Staden, Braden,
well,
Staden, Layden.
Maybe so. Why? Do you think Dakota's cool?
I think that people who name their children Dakota think it's cool, and that's why they do it. And, you know,
yeah,
no offense to anybody out there who actually has named their child Dakota. It was the first name I could think of that is popular among the hipsters here in Los Angeles. But
I think it is a great example, Emma. I think that is, I mean, excuse me, the whip smart Emma Alvarez Gibson.
Thank you.
That is a great example.
I just, you know.
You know what I would call Dakota, and perhaps I'm wrong about this. I mean, I haven't done the research. I'm just guessing. I'm just throwing this out as a guess. My guess is it's a soap opera name.
Really?
I mean, I describe names like that as a soap opera name. You know, that you would have characters on a soap opera with that kind of name. No?
Maybe. I don't know. I think I haven't watched a soap opera since 1978, I think. But
mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Well, see, that's my problem, too. I have not watched a soap opera for years. But that is kind of, you know, you have watched soap operas enough to know that they go for kind of out there cool names.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's that. Maybe I wonder too how much of it is celebrity influence. You know,
mm-hmm.
I know that.
Well, you know what? Since I became a celebrity, I'm all in favor of celebrity influence.
How have you had lots of people name their children Kay after you?
I think so because I count every Catherine, Kayla, Carla.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I feel like a lot of times when people name their children, they're not even aware they're naming their child after me, and they really are.
Yeah, they are, definitely.
Yeah, they
in fact,
absolutely
I'll have to
are.
Take a tally of the people in my life who've named their children after you, or who were named after you, and I'll send you that after the show so you can add it to your list.
Okay. Well, would you please send it to my list agent because I have other things to do.
Sure. And I don't want to overwhelm you.
Here are two more concepts that, you know, I'm going to try to get you to buy into, but you're actually being difficult. You're not really, you know, sucking up my ideas in the way that I would prefer.
I'm kind of mouthy.
Mm-hmm, you are. You seem to have a mind of your own.
Yeah, yeah. A lot, you know, people don't like that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I find it's making me nuts.
Yeah.
Ever hear the term yes, Kay? No, you
didn't. I'm not sure,
apparently
Kay.
Not. Okay, so what about names that are kind of musical sounding? See, I think Josephina, particularly the way you said it, I think your whole entire name, the way you pronounced it, I think it was rather musical.
Yeah, I like musicality, but I've grown rather bitter over all of that because the musicality is not going to it doesn't easily lend itself to another language. It sounds great in Spanish. In English, it's just a bunch of harsh sounds or strange sounds. But I do like musicality. You know, a good friend of mine who has a kind of a slightly unusual first name, Christia, she was dating a guy some years ago, and we all teased her that when she married him, she would instantly be on a soap opera. Back to the soap opera topic. But the name was not only soap opera-like, it also just had a real nice sort of musical quality to it. And I don't know if this is what you mean by musical, but that's sort of how it struck me. And if she had married this guy, her name would have ended up being Christia Bevington.
Oh, I like that name.
I don't think it's particularly lovely.
I don't know that it's particularly musical, but it's very substantial, isn't it?
It sounds so ladylike. It makes me think of flowers and violins.
Well, the other thing that I really would encourage parents to do when they're naming, and I have been aware of this for a very long time. I just wasn't on it in time to benefit my own daughter. But I like names that give people kind of a head start, like governor or or senator, you know.
Astronaut?
Well, now that one hadn't crossed my mind. That hadn't crossed my mind. But, you know, Donald Trump even named this latest baby. I mean, I don't watch TV anymore, so I'm assuming it's the latest baby. He could have had five more since then.
Oh,
but he named a baby Barron. He named his baby Barron.
Oh, that's right.
You know.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But see, it's a head start, isn't it? It's really a head start. If you name your child governor, male or female, they spend their entire life starting with, unless they, you know, get smart alecky and use the checkbook method to change their name. But why on earth would they do that if they're the governor? You know, why would they? You can't imagine someone named governor going into the DMV and saying, I want to be Emma. No.
Why would you do that?
You
that
wouldn't
would be ridiculous.
Do that. That would be silly. So if you name your child governor, then, you know, they don't even have to be elected to be called governor.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And, you know, that makes me wonder about the I don't know that it's so much a trend anymore, but I know there for a while in recent years in some of the Central American countries, it was becoming very popular to give your child as a first name the surname of an American president like Kennedy. And it just makes me think perhaps it's that same school of thought, you know, gee, you'll grow up to be a Kennedy, which, I mean, obviously it brings its own problems with it, but perhaps there's some sort of tie in there.
Well, there could be a tie in there. That whole concept was what came to mind when you told me about Christia Bevington. You know, the Bevington sounds very substantial.
Yes.
No. Well, when you were little Juana, did you have a nickname?
I had many. Mexican families have at least 50 nicknames per person. Those are the rules.
50? Really?
At least. It's in the guidebook that comes with every Mexican family. So primarily at school, I was known as Jenny because that's it's more or less the same name as Juana. But within the family, yeah, nobody ever called me Juana or Juanita. It was always some riff on one of either my first or my middle name. Yeah. I'm not going to go into the details of those. I made that mistake once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds, you know, if there's one thing I wish I knew, it's good radio, and it doesn't sound like that would be good radio.
It would probably be highly entertaining, but I would be less amused later on.
Really?
I made
about
the mistake. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you.
I was going to say I made the mistake of sharing one of those nicknames once when I worked for a magazine, and one of the salesmen then, like, 5 minutes later came into my office to ask me a totally serious question using this ridiculous childhood nickname. And I had to threaten to kill him, and it got kind of awkward. So, yeah, I'm not going to do that again.
No. No, I wouldn't do that. But do you, I mean, just generally, do you think nicknames are a good idea?
I think so. I purposely gave my son a name that doesn't lend itself to nicknames, but because I think he's the best, most amazing person in the entire world, I give him a zillion nicknames, and I don't really understand how that happens. I guess it's sort of like how whatever is most ubiquitous in your world, you come up with the most names for it. Like how the Inuit have, you know, I don't know how many, 50, 100, 500 names for snow.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that, I guess what I'm saying is I don't know that it's a good idea, but I think it's inevitable.
Well, one of the things that listeners may want to know about you is, let's see, well, I'm thinking they might have two questions. Anyone listening might have two questions. And I'm going to tell you what the two questions are.
Oh, good. Okay.
And then you can decide, because I can't decide which they want to know more.
Okay.
Okay. So they know that you are the whip smart Emma Alvarez Gibson, although you've spent most of an hour trying to persuade them otherwise. Right? But that they know about you, right?
Yes.
What they are wondering, I think, is two things. One is, what is it that you do? And two is, why would your husband buy you 8 boxes of cereal? I think those are the two things they want to know. And we really, you know, I promised people that I would be telling them about the Texas Hugs. We are not going to be talking about the Texas Hugs. We have about 3 minutes to tell people what it is you do or why your husband would buy you 8 boxes of cereal or what it is you do and why your husband would buy you 8 boxes of cereal.
I think I'm going to go for C, just because I would hate for anybody to go away with their question unanswered.
We don't like to disappoint here.
No,
we do not.
No. We know disappointment, and it's not kind.
Disappointment is sucky.
It is.
To tell you the
truth. Totally blows.
Okay.
Totally. So I am a copywriter. I'm also just a regular old long-form writer. I write for magazines. I write fiction. I do a lot of branding work, brand identity work, with primarily small business owners, and it's work that I absolutely adore. I love doing it. I love, love. It's one of those things where, you know, people always say, if you would do it for free, then you know it's really what you ought to be doing, and it's something that I've always done for free, actually. Now, as for why my husband would buy me 8 boxes of cereal, there are two reasons. One is that, as anybody who knows me knows, I love cereal. I could very happily eat cereal for, you know, every meal. I've never actually tried it longer
than
a couple
days.
You know
what? That's just sad. That's just sad. Go ahead.
I love it. And two, my husband is an incredibly frugal man, and he loves a good sale. And so for about 3 or 4 weeks running, every time he went to the store, he saw that this particular cereal, which I don't even particularly care for all that much, to be honest, but it's, you know, it's cereal, so it's good. he would bring home another two boxes of it until one day I looked up, and it happened to be a day that I was talking to you, Kay. I looked up and saw that we were being overrun by boxes of cereal, which were very, very cheap. So there you have it.
Well, since I am the last one to know if even such a thing exists, I would say it sounds to me like a very happy marriage.
It is.
And next week you are going to be back again because, as proof that I know nothing about a happy marriage, we are going to be talking about KK's divorce. And so you,
woo-hoo!
Since you're one of the CD babies, you are going to be a guest on next week's show. Paula Kelly, the producer, will be here. Kate Carpenter, the graphic designer, will be here. Kamala Spearley, executive producer, will be here. And you, of course, the press agent for KK's divorce, will be here. And I'm so happy about that because I simply adore you, Emma. And thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you, Kate. I had such a good time.